Good morning. We were trying to count the number of folks that had a number 15 jersey on today. Quite a few of you. We'd like to welcome you all to Berry Christian Church this morning. We'd also like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors to sign. If this is your first time visiting Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please do stop by and let us know it's your first visit. We'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave this morning. So I think just a few of us might be cheering on the Chiefs this afternoon for the AFC Championship game. This Sunday was previously scheduled. We had the Turkey Dinner Thank You Lunch and the World Cafe Congregational Discussion with our regional minister, Bill Roseheim. That's been postponed now to Sunday, February the 9th, immediately after the 11 o'clock worship service. Everyone's attendance at that session with Bill Roseheim would be the best way for us to get your input for the congregational profile that will be used to tell prospective youth ministry candidates about us and our congregation and our hopes for serving the youngest among us. Elders, deacons, and junior deacons, if you've not attended one of the previous training sessions yet this month, please do join us next Sunday, the 26th, here in the sanctuary during the Sunday school hour for the final training session to be up to date on our procedures for serving on Sunday mornings. Our thanks this morning for Max Haberfield, who is substituting for Paul Morrell, who was substituting for Andrew, who was substituting for himself. Unfortunately, Paul Morrell became ill, so Max joined us, so it's good to see Max. Andrew and Raina are still enjoying their honeymoon in the Caribbean islands, so thank you, Max, for your assistance today. So please welcome Max as he comes to lead us in our call to worship.
Please stand and join us for the call to worship. Come, let us praise the Lord. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. He is our God. We are the people he cares for, the flock for which he provides. Please stay standing for Praise Him, stanzas 1 and 3, number 93.
Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, all earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell him of excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell Him His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Thank you, Layla Starwall, for being our acolyte this morning. May we be on a word of prayer. Lord God, we gather here in your house, and we relish the experience of genuine and fullness of worship. O Lord, we acknowledge that we need your Holy Spirit in our lives to show us your ways, to teach us all things and remind us of everything Jesus taught us. Through your Holy Spirit, we are connected to you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose presence we welcome in our worship service this morning, and in whose name we pray now. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Wow. Good morning. We have new faces, some familiar faces, some visitors. We had almost this many for first service, too. We got kids everywhere today. Yeah. So, okay. Are we ready? It's very cold out there today, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not crazy about the cold myself, actually. Oh, gracious. Kathy, what are you doing?
I'm a snotty Christian.
Okay. Kathy.
Yeah?
What's this? What's this giant cross here?
I gotta show them that I'm a Christian.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear me. Kathy, that's not the way to show that you're a Christian. Sit down and I'll tell you about it. That's not the way to show people we're a Christian, is it? Does wearing a great big cross show people you're a Christian? Does walking around with a Bible show people that you're a Christian? So what do we need to do to show people we're a Christian? And Jace, you can't answer because you were here for the first story. That's a little cheat. What do we have to do?
Show them your kindness.
That's right. That's right. It's all part of showing them what? Just a minute. What? What do we need to show people?
Showing your love.
That's my girl. That's from my class.
You don't care about yourself, but you also care about other people.
That's right. And what do you have to say, young man? I don't know. I just wanted to say something. We show people that we're a Christian by our love. We actually have a song in our songbook that says that. That says, they will know we are Christians by our love. But what did Jesus tell his disciples?
All of them?
All of them, yeah. To love. Jesus told his disciples to love one another as I have loved you. By this, they will know you are my disciples. Funny thing. What kind of church are we in? We're in God's church. You got it, girl.
We're in the Lord's house.
We're in the Lord's house. We are it, but with a group of churches that call themselves disciples of Christ. Just like Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your love. When we love, we give. Oh, thank you.
Oh, love you too.
We give. We come to church because we want to glory to God. We want to honor God. We want to show everyone not that we're good Christians, but we want to share God's love. That's why we all like to go and give hugs. She's a good hugger. Well, yeah, you should love your parents. Glad she got that from you too. Yeah. Okay, we should feel love and share God's love with everyone. Can we have a little prayer, please? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for all of these wonderful, beautiful children. Thank you for this church's opportunity to share love with them, to share you with them. Help us to each and every day remember that to share love with others is to glorify you and your name. Be with us as we go about our week. Help us to always be grateful for all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we're privileged to go into the Lord's contemplation with prayer, we want to celebrate with Gail Dakin. Gail and Bryce actually came back from their winter journey to South Texas because Gail's granddaughter, Kathy, and her husband, Nick, gave birth to a great-granddaughter, Olivia May, just a couple of days ago. So we celebrate with Gail Dakin and Bryce. They were in the service this morning at 8:30. Our sympathy is extended to Tom Blakely with the loss of his daughter, Kim Blakely Ray, in Topeka this past week, and the funeral service will actually be held at First Christian Church in Topeka on Saturday, this coming Saturday at 11 o'clock. We also want to lift up Roscoe Shipley. He is at the North Kansas City Hospital still, but Catherine O'Neill was able to return home this past week. Brianna Ralston is still in our prayers as she continues to deal with a number of health concerns. We lift up Dave Haynes as he is still anticipating that trip to the Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis on the 3rd of February. We also want to celebrate with Michelle. Michelle Jacobo has understood from her doctor that that cancer is now in remission, right, Michelle? Praise God. So we're grateful for that. She is still about halfway through this round of chemotherapy, and that is still going to be about 3 more months. But we keep you in our prayers every day, Michelle, Jesus, and all your family. A number of other people we've been mentioning have been the people we've continued to mention week to week. So we're mindful of them also as we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, with the meditations of our minds and hearts, we lift up praise to your holy name in your house of worship. As we explore the temptation of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ in worship this morning, we find inspiration in the way Jesus battled the temptations of Satan and affirmed his commitment to follow your will and purposes. For in doing so, we know Christ afforded us the gift of life eternal. And as we realize how Jesus leaned on your word for certainty and direction, may we also do the same. For as Psalm 119 declares, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And even though we often may be inclined to follow our own instinctive decision-making processes, may we realize that in matters great and small, the book of Proverbs chapter 3 compels us to follow your ways by saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And although we may often confidently press ahead, believing we are the masters of our own design, may it be in humility that we remember how Proverbs 16 declares that the heart of man, man's plans, as a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And so even as we embark upon our endeavors this new week, may we be inclined to humbly seek your ways, as did our Lord Jesus. For as Psalm 32 tells us, you will instruct and teach us in the way we should go. You will counsel us with your eye upon us. And so for your great love and guidance, we are grateful, O God, as we also remember the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Katie, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
A reading from Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, can be found in your Pew Bible, page 938. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time.
I'll be singing You'll Never Walk Alone, because I'm not Paul, and I don't know his eyes on the sparrow. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk
When I saw my regular bank teller wearing a red jersey with the number 15 on it, I couldn't help but exclaim, Oh my gosh, Patrick, this football business is really getting to you. Look how you've aged terribly. Yet later today, we'll be greatly relieved to see that the familiar number 15 will be on a much younger, superbly athletic, kind and gentle spirit representing our city. for a lot of hope is riding on the one with the 15 jersey, and a host of other talented players to back him up. Yet as we presently gather around the Lord's table, we realize that Christ had a lot riding on the whole endeavor of dying on the cross and facing the traumatic weight of the sins of the world, so that through his death and resurrection, we may be freed from sin and granted the privilege of life eternal. As Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 reminds us, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all other names. Our communion hymn this morning, Fairest Lord Jesus, it's hymn number 97 as we sing all stanzas, please.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nations, O thou of God, to earth come down. Thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul, glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful hearts to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry hosts. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels' heaven can boast.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come to your house this morning to worship you, to glorify you, to pray, to sing praises in song, and to partake of the Lord's Supper. As we partake of these emblems, let us be reminded of Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection for us. And as we pray, amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
While looking through the glass case at the Hy-Vee Bakery this weekend, I realized that a trademark image of Patrick Mahomes had reached great heights. When I saw small cakes decorated with distinctive headband and tufts of thick brown wavy hair decorating the top of the cake. In some places like, well, maybe Bangladesh, that cake decoration would mean nothing. But here in Kansas City, it's definitely a well-known image. Yet, as we share a portion of our resources for the glory of God's kingdom this morning, we rejoice in the truth that God's work in Christ our Lord has been well-known the world over because of the generous endeavors and gifts of folks just like you and me. We give generously in thanksgiving as Gail leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this gift of today, a beautiful new start that you provide us with each and every day. We thank you for all of the gifts that you have given us, and at this time, we thank you that we are able to give back a portion of what you have blessed us so richly with. In this we pray, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we pray. Holy God, we're grateful for the day and the privilege to gather in your house and to understand why it was that Jesus went through the temptation, that he could more fully understand your purposes for his journey. We seek your guidance today and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week we recall from the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened up and the Spirit came down upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And a voice spoke from heaven, as Mark chapter 1 verse 11 tells us, "You are my own dear Son, I'm pleased with you." And we know at that very moment there was a powerful, significant union between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We also know that that voice from heaven expressed great love and affirmation for Jesus. As God was saying, "I'm so well pleased with what my Son has done and who he's become." We also know that the declaration of that voice was also saying, "This is the one. This is truly the Messiah." Jesus knew it. The world knew it. And Satan did too. The Gospels of Mark and Luke seem to indicate, after Jesus' baptism, that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert, as if to be guided during a time of solitude, to be one with the Spirit without the distractions of all the worldly concerns. In Matthew's account, we see a bit of a Jewish influence, as the text seems to indicate that Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted by the devil, as if that was the real purpose. I'm inclined to believe more as I lean toward Mark and Luke, and believe that Jesus was led into the desert so it could be a time of solitude and communion with the Spirit of God, without the distractions of all other people. Yet, what we do know is the devil wasted no time in trying to get a word in edgewise, right? Because don't you know, if you fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, which, by the way, fasting in that time period was simply one more way of offering worship to God, and somewhat common among devout Jewish people, you'd be really hungry, right? Don't you know, you might be in somewhat of a weakened state at that point? And so no wonder the devil was there trying to influence Jesus before he ever even got his ministry started. But yet here we know Jesus knew he was the Messiah. He knew he had this pathway set before him, but don't you know, he must have wondered, how is it that I can really offer up this plan of salvation for all humanity? You remember the commercials with the easy button? I think they're trying to sell you staples and other things like that. But, you know, they got the little easy button. Want to push the easy button? Wouldn't it be great if you could eliminate poverty by pushing the easy button? Or maybe would it be great if all people in all places experienced true justice if we could just push the easy button? Or maybe we could eliminate violence in families, communities, or between nations, if we could just push the easy button. You see, Satan was trying to connive around things in such a way, he was basically trying to say, "Well, Jesus, if you just push the easy button, things will be solved here on this earth. The easy button is, oh, just worship me." Now, we have three temptations lifted up here in Luke's Gospel, the fourth chapter. But you have to understand these are representative of Satan nagging on Jesus. Don't you know Satan nagged on Jesus all the time he was there? But let's look at the temptations. The first one, verse 3, the devil said to him, "If you are God's son, order this stone to be turned into bread." Notice how Satan first appeals to Jesus to prove that he is the Son of God by showing power. It's like kids in the playground. One of them puts his arms on his hips and says, "Oh, you just prove it." Doesn't matter what the subject is. You just got to prove it, right? Okay, Satan's saying, "Okay, Jesus, just prove it. Prove that you're the Son of God." So the voice said, "You are." "Well, prove it. And by the way, if you can turn this stone, all these stones, into bread, don't you know you can solve hunger throughout the world?" Oh, yeah, you see how Satan liked to kind of twist things, trying to make something look good, when in fact, the motivations are really heading in the wrong direction. Jesus, however, responds by using what? Scripture. Remember, weeks back, we were talking about how Jesus and the other young children in Nazareth and every other Jewish community, they spent their time in the synagogue, and they were taught to read and write with the use of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. Not only did they learn to read and write, they also learned with great depth the scriptural understanding of their Hebrew heritage. And so Jesus doesn't need to look it up. He's got it in his head. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. "Man cannot live by bread alone." In other words, even if you gave humanity the convenience of having all of their personal problems solved, that's not going to solve the real problem of man's disdain against God. Second temptation, world power. Verse 5, "The devil took him up, showed him in a second all the kingdoms of the world. I will give you all this power and all this wealth." As if somehow Satan's claiming here that he has all the power and all the wealth himself. What a lie. He has no real power. He just says he does. Kind of like, you know, talk about snake oil salesman. "Oh, I can offer you." "Oh, you're not offering me anything." "All this will be yours," Satan says to Jesus, "if you just do one simple thing, sign on the dotted line." That dotted line is worshiping me. But Jesus responds, doing what? Once again, drawing into the well of his understanding of God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." That's what the text says. Then there's a third temptation. The ability to control or manipulate God's ways. Satan takes Jesus up onto the highest point in the temple, says, "I'll just throw yourself down." Of course, there'd be a lot of people there because the temple was always filled with people. Kind of like monuments in Washington, D.C. You're going to have a lot of folks there regardless of the day, visiting. There'd be people there watching what was happening. Here Jesus is at the top of the very highest point of the temple. "Oh, just throw yourself down. The scripture says," Satan says, "that God will order his angels to take care of you." It also says that they will hold you up with their hands so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones. You see how Satan is even trying to twist the meaning of Scripture, to try to connive a certain way of thinking, trying to persuade Jesus to do something that's really against God's plan. And yet Jesus declared, again, Deuteronomy 4, verse 12, Scripture says, "Don't put the Lord your God to the test." Now, that was a bit of sensationalism. Satan was just saying, "Hey, you just do something really dramatic,
Everybody's going to believe you. But yet, this is only but a sampling, a scratch on the surface of what Satan must have been trying to do to manipulate Jesus and get Jesus to worship him. I'll just press the easy button. And then you'll be done with this whole thing. But Jesus, he needed to stay focused. And isn't it interesting to note that Jesus uses the Word of God to put Satan in his place and to keep himself lined up with God's plan? For Jesus knew that it was the hearts of men and women that needed to be changed more than just catering to their personal needs and wants. And you know, time and time again, however, we folks, as we're off doing our daily task, we believe that we can take care of ourselves, that we can solve our own problems, but yet how often do we too get tripped up by Satan's motivations? You've heard the expression, don't go off half-cocked. It's derived from an era of flintlock firearms that took a great deal of initial preparation with the powder, the wadding, the bullet, all had to be all put in place. Take several minutes to do that before you can fire it off. But if you've got a bear charging you in the wilderness back in that era of time and early American history, you didn't have time to put all that stuff into your rifle and be ready. You had to be ready ahead of time. Don't go off half-cocked. And yet, you know, we do that when we're not prepared spiritually and mentally, when we're really not empowered by the guidance of God's Word. Before the days of GPS, when I first arrived in Dallas, Texas, I had this thick spiral map book that was called MapQuest. Susan knows what I'm talking about. You're probably from Houston, right, Susan? About yay thick. Darn thing was expensive. But I had one of those. I really needed it, and I had realized as I left the church building, got into my car, was going to go see a family, that I had left that at home, and I thought, oh, that's okay. I've been here a couple of days. I think I can use the landmarks I think I know about, and I'll get there. Off I went. I drove and I drove, and I passed up one neighborhood Walgreens after another neighborhood Walgreens, and after a period of time, I realized I was not out of suburban America. I could drive for hours, and it would still be the same McDonald's and the same looking Burger King, just on a different corner. And I finally was so profoundly disoriented, partly because the sun was straight up, so I couldn't even tell what was west or east or north or south. I just had to give up. Stopped at the gas station, got myself one of those paper maps, remember? Opened it up. I had to go out to the corner, find out what the sign said, to even find out where I really was, and then look for it, you know, because you could go through the index. Use the index, find the street. Okay. Oh, I'm there. And then I could figure out where I had to go. And, of course, I had long ago called the family. Thankfully, we still had mobile phones then, but I called the family. I'm not there. I'm sorry, I'm absolutely lost, but I'm working on it. You see, in life, if we don't have the MapQuest book that God has given to us and that Jesus has showed us is so important. And what is that? The Word of God. If we don't know it, if we don't have it in our hearts, we are simply traveling through life, trying to make appropriate spiritual, moral, ethical decisions based upon our own whim. And Satan just loves to derail us. Jesus went into the wilderness
so that he could commune with God's Spirit. And by golly, even Jesus couldn't get away from Satan and his influences. And that's the way it is for us as we live our lives day to day. We have got to be immersed in the spirit of our Christian faith in order to know what is the right direction for us morally, spiritually, and ethically. Jesus declared in John chapter 6, verse 38, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And in Matthew 12, verse 50, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother, etc. Where are you today? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 627. I want Jesus to walk with me. Let us sing the first and last stanzas, please. First and last of hymn number 627. May we stand.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All a long my pilgrim journey, oh, I want Jesus to walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When my head is bowed in sorrow, oh, I want Jesus to walk with me.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish you a great joy and celebration as the day goes by, and especially the new week. And of course, go Chiefs. May we pray. Lord God, we're privileged to be in your house and we give thanks. Guide us as we step forward into the new week, as we focus on your word and the example that your Son, Christ our Lord, gives to us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal along. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, he calls me by the thunder. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, he calls me by the lightning. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal